This is Orlando. This is where we believe in magic.
Welcome to Zoneheads Orlando, the podcast of the Orlando sports fan.
They try to run her over. Fouché got it to go. Oh, Cole Anthony hit the deck for good measure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Zoneheads Orlando podcast. This is episode 5 of the UCF Report. I'm your host, Sean Green. Thank you all for tuning in and showing love on the pod. On my show, Charge On, people have left comments saying how they like this show as well. We truly do appreciate it, and we hope that you continuously check us out through the summer and for all UCF sports to get all your UCF content. I am recording this late on Monday night, 10:51 p.m. Just got back home from the Magic game. That was, my heart pounded a lot tonight, so I'm going to keep this very chill because my heart can't take a lot of energy tonight after that game. But the most important thing is the Magic got the win. But as you guys know, you are here, obviously, for UCF content. So let's get right into it. Obviously, let's talk. Our usual sport that we start with is football. And I was able to go to the facilities on Saturday post the first spring scrimmage. Now, media was not allowed in the scrimmage, so we did not get to see anything that happened on the field, what happened during the scrimmage. Like, we were only allowed to ask in a post-scrimmage, you know, the same questions that you guys hear every year, right? Who made the big plays? What stood out? Who won offense or defense? And, you know, Gus, I found it very interesting. I mean, Gus seemed very upbeat and positive. Now, granted, let's keep it 100% honest here, right? Again, I've told you guys on my show, Charge On, I'll tell you on this UCF Report show, Gus gives the same answers, it seems like, to every question for the past 3-4 years, right? I guarantee you, if you go and you watch the press conference from this spring scrimmage, the first spring scrimmage, right? And you take his answers, I guarantee you, if you go back to the other two, the interviews will be very similar. The press conferences will be almost identical. But the players are kind of really what stand out. Now, Gus said when it came to offense and defense, all made plays. Defense forced some turnovers. Offense scored some touchdowns. You know, it was a very even day. They ran about 100 plays and, you know, a lot of people stood out, and it was a great day for everybody, and all three groups got in, all three, first team, second team, and third team, everybody played, and now it's going to be about, you know, I think second scrimmage on is who can really play, right? Who can kind of step up their game and really elevate it, and I found it interesting when you're talking to the players. You know, they, of course, obviously, give way more information than Coach Gus, right? The players, and this is just maybe the vibe I got, right? This is the vibe that I particularly got from the players that, you know, Gus said, oh, it was very even, you know, defense forced turnovers, offense scored points. The vibe that I got, and again, I might be interpreting this wrong. The vibe I got is the first team offense and first team defense. The first team defense won. Seems like first team defense really, and again, I don't know if this is Gus knowing what the fan base wants to hear or what the media wants to hear, but we heard they stopped the run game. They really stopped the offense from running the football. The defense was flying around, and they created havoc. And I asked KJ Jefferson, I asked, like, how good was the defense today? Like, what did you see out of the defense? And he said straight up, like, as an offense, we have to be better. You know, the defense played really well today. They forced some turnovers on us. We got to be better, and that's on me. So, and again, I got, KJ wasn't the first guy we interviewed. We kind of got that vibe from a couple of the other players that we had interviewed that day, that it kind of seemed like the defense won, whatever, you know, however you're grading it. So when KJ came up and I asked him that, and he kind of gave me the answer of, yeah, I mean, the defense kind of, you know, they played really well today. I'm like, okay. And that's, honestly, I think, to be completely honest, I think we all know the offense is going to be fine, right? Like, I know some of you guys, some of you UCF fans can be a little hypocritical and, you know, you don't like how certain calls are made at certain times and if Gus is the OC. And, you know, I understand that. At the end of the day, UCF has been a top 10 offense the last 2.5, 3 years, right? So we can complain or you can complain, but at the end of the day, UCF's offense has been good. The thing that was lacking last year was the defense. And when we're hearing in the first scrimmage, and again, it's only the first scrimmage, right? But what you can take from it is, listen, at the end of the day, the defense is changing things up. It seems like defensive coordinator Ted Roof, they're changing the coverages. They're masking a lot of stuff. They're sending more pressure. And it's clearly helping. To be able to stop the run game in the first scrimmage is, it's a great thing that it sounds great. It sounds great. But again, we won't really find out if anything has changed until the end of the season, or the beginning of the season, excuse me. Now, I also got a chance to talk with Malachi Lawrence, which if any of you guys, you know my Charge On show, I'm a huge Malachi Lawrence fan. I love Josh Seliskar. I love me some Josh Seliskar, but it was very evident early on last season that Malachi Lawrence was the guy that needed to start. And Josh Seliskar needed to ride the bench. And again, I love Josh Seliskar. But I mean, look at the stats with Malachi Lawrence playing backup minutes, backup snaps, and how many sacks he had, how many pressures he had, and what impact he made. And I asked him, you know, listen, you like, are you taking more of a leadership role on this defense? Because it seemed like, again, like, a lot of these guys are saying, hey, like, we need to step it up another level. And Malachi said, like, that's been crucial for me. I've really tried to take that leadership role. So you have Ted Roof come in, coupled with the fact you brought in a lot of transfers on the defensive side of the ball, a lot of older vets on the defensive side of the ball. The defensive guys are all fighting for a starting job. You've got a bunch of transfers that want a job. You want a bunch of the younger guys that want to step up and finally take over their position. And when a guy like Malachi Lawrence proves it and takes over, younger player, takes over and proves he should be the starter, that should prove to you if you're a young linebacker. I get Ethan Barr. He's coming from an SEC school, right? And you think, oh, he's going to be the starter. Well, guess what? If you're a young linebacker, you've been a year in the system, go prove it on the field. Go prove it. So I'm excited to see what we can see out of spring ball. Hopefully we'll get more information this week specifically on kind of, you know, who's in first team, second team, you know, kind of for right now shaping out those teams. But from what I heard out of the first scrimmage, I'm really impressed. I'm really happy what I heard. And hopefully, out of the second scrimmage, we can hear just a little bit more about how the team's improving and all that good stuff. But again, from everything UCF posts, and again, they're very careful with what they're posting. Like, they're not really throwing anybody under the bus on a big play or stuff like that. Like, we really don't know who's doing good, who's doing bad until it really shows up. All we really know is KJ's doing well. He's the quarterback. You know Xavier Townsend's doing well. Kobe Hudson's limited, so we're not going to be really seeing Kobe. I think RJ is limited, too. Basically, any top name is limited. But again, you really don't need to see those guys really at all. We know what they're going to bring, and the worst thing in the world is if they get hurt. Now, one name I did want to talk about briefly before we moved on is Cam Ingram. Cam Ingram obviously came from Bethune-Cookman. It sounds like, and again, I might just be, you know, he's the son of defensive line coach Kenny Ingram. It sounds like he might have a spot on this team to really perform this year. I don't know. They said that he was getting runs with the ones and twos this spring. So, I mean, he might be the third back. between, obviously, if you have RJ 1, Johnny 2, Cam Ingram might be the third back, but that's still a huge leap for a guy that I think, no offense to him, but most people thought, listen, he's coming in here, he's going to, be pushed down on the depth chart, and, he'll never see the field. But it seems like, and again, we'll see in the spring game, it seems like he can make an impact for UCF this season. But that's just what they're saying out of spring, and again, we'll see if the spring game, he shows anything that really impresses UCF fans to say to get him on the field. But all right, enough football, no basketball this week. Again, we're kind of getting to that down time of no basketball, and then we won't talk about basketball until recruiting amps up. Now, what I will say about basketball is UCF only has, I think, 5 to 7 scholarship active players on the roster. I think it's 5. I might be wrong on that. So UCF's going to have to go get some players because they can only field about a starting 5 right now with scholarship active players. So not great. But again, I've told you this from the last 2 years. This is, I guess, how UCF operates now. They lose their team every single year and they replace it with transfers. I guess that's the new age of UCF basketball. And I guess, listen, that's the new age of college basketball in general. It's kind of like football, but different. I mean, football, you don't really see this many impact players leave unless something drastic happens. Basketball, any given year, your entire team can get up and go if they're going to the NBA or if they just want more money, if they want to go to a better program. It's crazy. But again, most of the guys that are leaving us aren't going and going to a better program. I think they're mostly going for more playing time. Besides C.J. Walker. Like C.J. Walker, though, let's not get it twisted here, I don't think CJ's going to, a top 25 school to get, a starting job. I think he's going to really just try and make more of a name for himself to try and somehow make G League or international play. But let's switch it over here to UCF baseball. You're 25th ranked UCF baseball. Listen, again, this season so far has just been an outstanding job for Rich Wallace and the boys. I mean, again, what did I say last week? I said, listen, they might lose a game in the series, right? But they're going out and they're winning the series. They're going 2 out of 3. And I said, as long as you do that, you're going to end up being ranked. You're going to be ending up playing really good postseason baseball because you find ways to win when it matters. And again, I said this, you got another big test coming up. You had Jacksonville on Tuesday, and then you had the 3-game series against Texas Tech. And I said, listen, Texas Tech is no slouch. They're very similar to how UCF is in the standings. So you're going to have to come out, and you're going to really have to prove yourself. And what do they do? Listen, you beat Jacksonville 6-0, and then you come play in Orlando at John Eliano Park, won 5-4 the first game, 2-1 the second game. Yeah, they lost the third game, 2-3. Like, obviously, I get it. You want to win all three, but you win the series in the first 2 games, and it takes a lot of pressure off for that third game, saying, listen, we already won the series, right? There's no heavy stress saying, hey, like, we need to really go out there and win all three. Like, we're struggling here. No, like, UCF baseball is taking care of business when it matters. And again, I'm very impressed with the team. Very impressed. Like, nobody thought, and again, it's not about what you, I always like the saying, you take the best season and the worst season out of the equation, and you take what's in the middle, and then you determine a good coach or a good team or whatever. We can't really do this. This is the first year under Rich Wallace, right? But what you can say is they know how to win. This team knows how to win. They're 6-6 in the Big 12, 18-7 as a whole. They're ranked 25th in the country, and they deserve it. They deserve it. Now, let's talk about the schedule this week, because it's a doozy. They have a lot of games. They have 5 games this week, which is crazy. So tonight, they play in Daytona Beach, Florida at Jackie Robinson Park against Bethune-Cookman, if you guys want to go down there, 6 p.m. Against Bethune-Cookman. Then they play the next day at home against North Florida at 6 p.m. So they have a game Tuesday, Wednesday, and then they have their weekend series against Kansas State at home. So four straight home games, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The two games Friday, Saturday at 6 p.m. and the Sunday game is at 1 p.m. And the Sunday game is 4:07 day. I guess that makes sense. It's April 7th. I didn't even think about that, guys. But Kansas State, if we look at the rankings here, they're pretty good. I would say they're probably, you know, compared to UCF and Oklahoma, the second, third best team in the Big 12. They're 6-3 with their Big 12 record, and they're 18-8 as their overall record. Now, they have lost two straight recently, so, I mean, you know, take that for what you will. Let me see who they lost to. They lost to Texas. They lost two games to Texas and won one against Texas. So, yeah, it's going to be rough. I mean, it's going to be a tough series, and I think this is a good test for UCF. I mean, listen, they dropped. The only series they've really lost this year is the Oklahoma game, the Oklahoma series. This is going to be a huge test. One of the best teams in the Big 12 coming to Orlando, which is really important. And again, if you can, again, just win the series. Win the series, win two out of the three, and then if you can beat Bethune-Cookman, beat North Florida, you're going, what, 4-1 on a five-game stretch? I mean, that's what you have to do if you want to be successful this season. And again, the rest of this the season they have is not unwinnable. They've got some really winnable ball games towards the end of the year. So, I mean, you've got a three-game stretch against Baylor. You've got, you know, Bethune-Cookman still on the schedule. You do have a three-game series against Texas. And Texas is pretty good. They're 17-11 and 6-3 in the Big 12, but they did just win the season series against Kansas State. So that'll be a struggle. That'll be a tough matchup. But then you got teams like Houston, and, you know, they're 4-8 in the Big 12. So if you go down the list, UCF baseball could end up being in the top, you know, 20, top 15 teams if they just keep doing what they're doing and keep winning these series. All right, we got baseball, or baseball's done, and then we'll go to softball. Credit to our softball team. They won a Big 12 series against Texas Tech. Listen, a lot of runs were scored. They heard me talk about how they didn't really score against Texas, and they came out and they put in some runs. So they won their season. They won the series against Kansas on March 8th, 9th, and 10th. They won 2-1 on that series, and they came out against Texas Tech and won 2-1. 8-5 in the first game, 12-9 in the second game, and 4-5 in the third game. They lost the third game, 4-5. But again, like, they went to Lubbock and won a series. Doesn't matter what their record was. At the end of the day, they went and they won a Big 12 series. They put runs up on the board. They're playing much better. The Texas series, they're playing the number two team in the country. The Oklahoma State series are playing the number four team. So, listen, they were on a seven-game skid, and they come out against Texas Tech and win 2 out of 3. So, that's all you can ask for. Today, actually, they've got two games at the UCF Softball Complex against North Florida. One at 4 p.m., one at 6:30 p.m. So, if anything, you can go catch the first softball game at 4, and then if you want to go support the baseball team, you can go over there at 6 o'clock to kind of get your baseball-softball action. And then they also have a three-game series this weekend in Orlando at the UCF Softball Complex against BYU. Thursday at 6 o'clock, Friday at 6 o'clock, and then Saturday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, I mean, that means that at least on Friday, both softball and baseball will be playing at the same time. Don't love that. We got to plan that better. We got to plan, like, maybe some two-a-days. Maybe have softball play at 4, baseball play at 6. But, listen, that's both baseball and softball have 5 games this week. So, let's see. Well, listen, on our next UCF report, we'll give you guys your weekly softball and baseball update and see what happens. But we're hoping for a lot of wins from both these next 5 to 7 days. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the UCF Report. A little bit of a longer one, almost about 20 minutes. But listen, there was a lot to cover with one less sport because basketball is pretty much done. But please go watch my show, Charge On, on all podcast platforms, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, to get your mainly UCF football fix. We release those episodes every Friday in the off season. And then follow me at Sean M. R. Green on all social platforms too. You get UCF and Orlando Magic content every single day. Just follow me on Twitter again at Sean M. R. Green. All right, everybody, this has been Zone Heads Orlando podcast, and this has also been the UCF Report. We will see you guys next week.
Today's episode of the Zone Heads Orlando podcast presented by Authentic Audio Productions, your go-to source for audio production of any kind. You want commercials, live endorsements, podcast production? We can make it sound this good. Let Authentic Audio be your guide. Go to the website, get a feel for what we offer, AuthenticAudioPro.com. Follow this show, keep up on Facebook by becoming a Zone Head, also on Instagram and on YouTube. Thanks so much for checking us out today. Continue to let the internet know we're out here. Throw us a follow, rate us, review us. It goes a long way. We greatly appreciate it. Tomorrow, we chat and chill with our special guest of the week. Chat soon, Zoneheads.